So essentially, your Rushmore is Darren Randolph, Katie Taylor, Laura Whitmore, and me.
OTB AM's Mount Rushmore, live every weekday at 7:30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The games between Liverpool and Manchester City have been very, very high quality matches over the last couple of seasons. Great goals, great pace about the game, great technical ability. But tonight, it doesn't actually mean that much. I'm delighted to say we've got Daniel Harris with us to talk a little bit about what's going to happen and the impact of, or the importance of this game really in the context of what's coming next and next season. Does this game mean anything, Daniel, tonight?
Yeah, I think so. Games always mean something. It kind of depends a little bit what the managers do. Because I remember I was thinking about a similar game in 2007 at the end of the season when Manchester United went to play Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. And it was thought that might be a big title decider. But as it happened, United were champions already. And at that point, the manager has options. And what Alex Ferguson decided to do was partly because his team were knackered and had a cup final. He picked a second team involving the likes of Chris Eagles and Alan Smith and Dong Fan Zhu and Kieran Lee. And what I think part of the reason he did that was because the team were knackered. But the other part of the reason was he knew as well as everyone else knew that John Terry and Frank Lampard giving those guys a guard of honour would be extremely funny, which it was. But the game of football itself was terrible and it was 0-0. I don't think that will happen tonight because I think that Liverpool want to keep winning and they want to get as many points as they can and they want to break the points record. And I think City, they won't want to get embarrassed. And they also do have big games to come. They're still in the FA Cup and they're still in the Champions League. But they need to play themselves into some kind of form. And really, they should be ashamed of conceding the league in the way that they did against Chelsea. They should have made Liverpool win it on the pitch against them. And from a City point of view, they should have tried to go and give Liverpool a thrashing to say that we're better than you.
Yeah, I'm definitely in two minds about if I'm Liverpool chasing those targets, because say you chase those targets relentlessly over the next couple of weeks and somebody does a cruciate and misses the first 6 months of next season, I would be like, maybe we should have actually just played a mixture of B team and told everybody, win, play, I don't really care, there's no fans, it's grand, we've won our league title and we're going to make sure that our sports science, which seems to be very on point, will allow us to be absolutely at pitch perfect note on day one of the next season.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be altogether surprised if they did that, but the way that Jurgen Klopp has been talking about his team and talking up their mentality and talking up their desire and saying we don't even understand how much his team want it, how much his team want to win, that doesn't suggest that that's what he'll do. And I guess in some ways he's probably a bit less cynical than someone like Alex Ferguson. I mean, that's certainly the image that he presents. And whilst the image that he presents and what we act as media image and what we actually see of him are not necessarily exact bedfellows, I think that he would be more inclined to try and win the game. I might be wrong, but
I think you're right. I just wonder, is it the right thing to do? And like, it's such a high pressure, such a high intensity game they play. I can see the case for stepping everything down and having an extended preseason, giving yourself that advantage. So some of the rugby players, for example, that are in the papers today are specifically talking about how these 4 or 5 months off are going to give them a period at the end of their career where they feel like they might get an extra season out of it. It's like a mini sabbatical for them. I can see the benefits of taking Mo Salah out of the front line and saying, you've had non-stop football and pressure. You played in a World Cup injured. And how about we start next season and you get the Ballon d'Or next year because we're going to give you all the rest and recuperation that you need to heal your body and heal your mind and come back as the greatest footballer in the world.
He might do that. I think that in the back of his mind, certainly in the back of my mind, if I were him, would be that if he picks a second team, do they really want City coming and giving them a hiding? And if he does pick a second team, then that is possible. I mean, City could give a hiding to a first team if City had a good day and the first team had a bad day. So he might start resting players thereafter, thinking that basically it is possible for Liverpool to keep winning games, even if they don't have all their players available. But for this one, I think that the chances are that he will feel that it's unlikely that anyone will do a cruciate and be out for a year. So, and I think that he would want to celebrate winning the title at Anfield in as proper a fashion as he can manage, which is not a proper fashion at all. But I would expect Liverpool to go strong tonight, but perhaps not thereafter.
Go on, Adrian, sorry.
How tied up, I wonder, is the greatness of this Liverpool team in what happens from here on out? Like, you're obviously right, I think, tonight that they're going to go for it no matter what happens. Like, and it's also too close to having actually clinched the title to take the foot off the gas now. And I see from the fixture list they have Brighton and Villa upcoming as well, and that's it with their involvement over the next maybe week or 10 days. That's it with their involvement with that relegation battle as well. So I wonder, in the context of all that, how tied up is the greatness of this Liverpool team in what happens between now and the end of the season?
Not at all, in my opinion. I think that they've won the league and they won the Champions League last year. If they can do either of those two things next season, or both, or keep going, then they'll be a great team. I wouldn't measure greatness really in points, because the way that seasons work are different. So if you look at what's going on below Liverpool, the answer is not a lot. City's title defence hasn't been great. And the teams below them, Leicester have barely won a game since Christmas. Manchester United barely won a game before Christmas. Chelsea keep chucking results away. The standard below them, they're not the best iterations of these teams. And that is one of the reasons Liverpool have got so many points. Of course, one of the other reasons is they've been relentless and they found a way to win so many games where they haven't played particularly well, and so many games by the odd goal. But to me, you don't really measure greatness in quantity of points over a season, but in success and glory, and repeated success and glory, and the way that teams negotiate big games and the way that teams negotiate pressure. So I personally, if Liverpool played a reserve team in every game for the rest of the season and lost them all, I wouldn't conceive of them any differently to if they played their first team and they won them all, because their achievement is already enshrined in the annals of football history. And what they need to do now to go on to be a great team, if they do go on to be a great team, is to win again next season and the season after.
You don't believe, do you? Just listening to what, reading between the lines of what you're saying there, you've avoided saying that Liverpool are a great team. You don't believe that they are?
Are Liverpool a great team yet? No, I would say not. I think they're a really, really excellent team. But I would say to be a great team, you need to win more than one league in a row. That's what the Champions League obviously is important, and you need. So I think over the course of being a great team, you need to at some point find your way to win a Champions League, really, if you want to be talked about amongst the very best. So City did amazing things in the league the last couple of seasons, but they haven't won a Champions League. So at that point, when you start to look at, if you're talking about great teams, then inevitably you're having to compare them to other great teams, and you compare, and then you look at what other great teams have done. And the other teams that I would consider great teams have won Champions Leagues. And so at some point in the course of being a great team, you need to find your way to win a Champions League. Liverpool have done that. But you also, I think, need to find your way to retaining a league title. So for me, the best teams that I've seen are the teams that have won consecutive league titles and at some point happened upon a Champions League. So in the Premier League era, that is United's team of 99 to 01 and 07 to 09. And Chelsea, I would have Chelsea's first, Mourinho's first Chelsea team next, because they retain the league title. And then some years later, even though it was kind of different players, most of the key players eventually found their way to winning a Champions League as well. Whereas for Liverpool, I think that they've had a great season. They've had one of the great seasons. But to be a great team, I think that they need to win. They need to add another title to that. And if they add another title to that, and they've gone Champions League, League Champions, League Champions, then I don't really see how you could argue with that.
I think they're, for me, they're already there, given that they were Champions League final, Champions League plus record points against a record-breaking Man City team, and then win the league so easily and crush the league this year the way they did. But look, we're kind of splitting hairs.
No, I understand that. I mean, I totally understand that. That's why I said they've had a great season. But for me, the things that I would be ranking, like how many points you get in winning the league is not necessarily a reflection of how great you are. It's also a reflection, I mean, it might reflect how great you are, but it's also a reflection of what's going on in the league.
Yeah, I think how many points you win against everybody else by, if you know, if there's literally nobody who can stick with you for seven games, they've lapped the field so quickly. But look, we're getting bogged down in that. I think that we can come back to that this time next year when they've retained the title and it's like, okay, well, yeah, okay, they're 100% a great team at this stage. But one last thing about tonight's game. The Ryan Giggs goal against Arsenal in the Cup semi-final seemed to set Arsenal back, to rock them on their heels for a couple of years. It took them a while to regroup. It kind of shocked their identity a little bit into, ah. Now, eventually they make their comeback. Is there any aspect of Liverpool that tonight are thinking, let's bury City here. Let's just make them have in their heads the fact that we are not going away. And even when we're celebrating, even the week that we're like a little bit off it in training and everybody's having the crack as opposed to actually going at it and being tense into this, that we drag them into the deep end and we drown them tonight.
That's why I said I think that Klopp will pick a full-strength team. I'm absolutely certain that they'll want to make a statement, not just for now, but for next season. And they'll also know that City might not be at it because, I mean, they weren't at it against Chelsea when they should have been. So it's hard. And City and Guardiola teams in the past have been quite fickle. And I think that this City team are not always great under pressure against another good team. They were brilliant under pressure at the end of last season when they needed to win every game. But in the course of the genesis and the superiority and the hegemony of this City team, we've seen that they've lost under pressure. And I think that Liverpool will be definitely trying to do that. I mean, in the first instance, they'll just be trying to win. But I don't think that it'll be exactly, let's go and bury this lot. I think because they know that basically that is unlikely. But I certainly think that they'll be looking to make a statement and to set City back. But at the same time, they'll know that City will spend money in the summer and they'll be back again next season and Liverpool will have to do it again next season. And it's hard to defend the title because very few teams do.
The momentum of United, obviously, is the other thing. The last 24 hours have been unbelievable. Like, the losses for... They couldn't have scripted this any better. Like, the losses for... Gerard mentioned a bit earlier in the show, like, it's been the greatest 24 hours in the history of... Well, the recent history of Manchester United.
Last seven seasons, Adrian. Don't get me wrong.
Last seven seasons. There we go. Let's not misrepresent... I don't want to misrepresent your point here. But it's been unbelievable. Like, this is... suddenly, all the momentum was with Manchester United to the point where... Like, look, last night was a bit of a blip for Chelsea. I don't know what was going on, but looking at the game last night, it looked as if West Ham had the opportunity to score at every single opportunity, at every single break, and pretty much did, whether they were ruled out or in. But and I don't really expect that to continue. But at the same time, what an incredible 24 hours for United.
I've taken a lot of aggravation for constantly saying on here that, as far as I can see, Solskjaer has a plan, and judge him when he's got on midfield and watch the players improve. And just talk about United briefly, that is what we've seen. We've seen he's now got a midfield and we've seen almost every player improve. And what he's done is he has turned United from a team that was on its arse with players playing out of their arse in just over a year. He's turned them into a team that you can now expect to win the games that they should win. And they were winning big games more or less since the beginning, but they were chucking away points against teams who didn't have as talented players because they were unbalanced. And that's no longer the case. As far as Chelsea go, I think what we've seen with Chelsea throughout the season and what Frank Lampard pretty much said last night is they don't defend well. And when you don't defend well, in the Premier League, like, most teams have a player or two who can hurt you. And West Ham have that. Mikel Antonio was excellent last night. The way that they manufactured their winner was brilliant, and it was a great finish from Yarmolenko. And West Ham have players who can hurt you if they're committed. And Chelsea don't defend well, and that is pretty much the reason why they don't win games that they should win. And ultimately, I think now United are probably favourites to come third because they're on a roll, and the games that they have to come are against teams you would expect them to beat. And the current format of games is extremely biased in favour of teams who play a technical game, like United do, who have better technical players, because what you've got is you've got no crowd. So inferior teams aren't getting adrenaline from the crowd. And also they're physically not capable of charging around and putting it extra in because they're not as fit as they ordinarily would be. It's hot. And you've got five subs, which means the better teams with the stronger benches can change things if they're not getting their own way. So all of those things feed into the good teams beating the less good teams. And United only have the less good teams to play until they play Leicester on the last day, and they're winning. So I would expect United should probably get third from here, is what I would say. Although I think what we see with Leicester is that they won't play as badly again as they did in the first half yesterday. The first half against Everton, it felt like Leicester hit rock bottom there. And then they came out in the second half and they were much better. And on another day, they might have got a point. They played well enough to score two goals, I would say, in that second half. So I think that Leicester will be better, but they will also be able to feel it slipping away. And they've put a lot into this season, and it looked like we were pretty much secure in third. But they've been so bad since Christmas that they no longer are. And that is a lot of pressure for them to play under. And not all of those players would have played under that pressure before, and some will respond and some won't respond. So it was a great 48 hours for United, but at the same time, we're not in a position yet where we can say, well, we can absolutely rely on this squad of players to do what we expect them to do, because they haven't been doing it for very long, and they've had good runs before and then collapsed. But the players look a bit better now. And the difference in some ways between United and Chelsea is that when you looked at United's squad last summer, you could see they needed two midfield players, really. They needed probably a striker, a winger. But what they actually did was they spent more or less all the money that they had on defence. And I wasn't particularly in favour of doing that at the time. I knew that they needed a right back and I knew that they needed a centre back, but I felt like they could escape not spending that money on defence, if they spent the money on the midfield and the attack, but on the rationale that they would score more goals, so the opposition would have to score more goals to take points off them, and the ball would be kept away from the defence. But I think what Solskjaer did was he felt that you build the team from the back, which I don't think is a hard and fast rule, but I can understand why you would treat it as a rule. He bought two very expensive defenders, and you can't argue that it hasn't worked. It has worked. They don't concede very many goals. And that is a significant difference between them and Chelsea, is that they're now not conceding very many goals at all. And it means that you don't have to do that much to win. Although, as it happens, the attack's also working.
Daniel, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us today. You can expect the Liverpool fans in your timeline correcting your opinion about their greatness.
They've had a great season. They could well go on to be a great team. But yeah, like, retain league titles is one of my standards. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
Fair enough. It's coming. All right. Good stuff.
I'll see you again.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.